Hello, Vashon. This is Dove Speaks. I'm your host, Chris Austin. And joining me today is Maya Battisti. She has been a Dove advocate. Is that the proper term?
Yeah, you'd call me a Dove advocate.
And how long have you been doing that?
In February, it will be 3 years.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's kind of coming right up there.
Yeah. So when you came on to the program, you were kind of the teen liaison? What would be a good word for that?
They hired me as the youth advocate,
to work
specifically with youth.
Mm-hmm. And as I recall, you were at the high school where you're interacting with teenagers. Boy, I bet that's changed with this current circumstances.
Yeah, it's changed a lot. Although, you know, it's been summertime, so I hadn't really noticed a difference until this year. I mean, I just reached out to the teachers and the staff at the beginning of the year, like, hey, just want to check in, see how things are going. I know it's going to be really different this year. Let me know if I can be of service in any way,
because
things are going to be so different for them and like figuring all out these new things that I thought I'd rather than like going in with like, hey, what can I do? Like, hi, I'm here and I can help.
Well, can you give us like a sense of the history of the program, like how it started, maybe how it's changed a little bit?
The Youth Advocate Program?
Yes.
Well, so when Dove hired me, they had just gotten this grant. Like, the program didn't exist. They got some money and then they hired me as an advocate, and it was kind of a process of creating what the job actually is. I mean, there aren't that many youth that go out looking for trusted adults to talk to. That's not really the way that it happens.
I could not agree more. I mean, yeah. I didn't. Mm-hmm. I still don't.
No, and this school system, there are so many trusted adults. I mean, there's neighbor care there. They have counselors. There's so many people that are out there offering, like, come and talk to us. We're safe, trusted adults. But it's just not, you know, youth talk to each other. And so it's how to get in there. So for me, it was mainly about creating the partnerships with the staff and just like becoming a familiar face around there. I mean, I wasn't going to have an office space at the school. I'm still working at the Dove Project office space. So, and then it's kind of evolved from there. Like, I do a lot more prevention work now. When I first started, it was how to be a youth advocate. So how to, you know, do advocacy with youth. Found out that wasn't really going to go very far until the youth knew who I was.
Oh, I'm sure.
In a more authentic way. So the prevention work in the middle school and the high school, and working with teen council now, I'm a teen council facilitator, is the way to do that. Then teens actually know me as a person, as opposed to just like a title.
And I think that's got to be hard, because it's just this revolving population that, you know, who's new, and, you know, it takes some time to get that relationship, and then they're off to who knows where.
Huh. And it does. It takes a really long time to build relationship. I feel pretty good that I think, you know, so I worked at the hardware store for many years before I, you know, applied for this job. And I think that really set me up. I like people and I like talking to them and I'm comfortable talking to them. So anybody, like, in order to do this job, it had to be somebody that was pretty comfortable creating relationships.
Sure.
Which is kind of like what waiting tables is.
it is tough because, well, I don't know what's tougher than a teenager, frankly. I mean, I don't have kids, but I've had some experience with teenagers, and it makes me happy that I don't have kids. Because they're really tough. I mean, they've kind of dismiss you, let's say, if you try and offer some advice.
Well, yeah, I mean, it just depends on your approach. I mean, I think teenagers are fantastic, and that's crazy coming from me, because I was actually terrified of them, like literally scared of them up until my early 30s. And I don't know exactly what shifted, but I mean, as my girls got older, I mean, they weren't quite teens yet at that point, but there's something about working with youth they're real, you know,
right.
and they're immediate, and they're receptive if you're, I don't want to use the word cool, but as long as you're like not trying to tell them what to do or how to do it or how to be or trying to teach them in any way.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's fascinating for me. Like, I get this weird little connect high when we go into the middle school and we do the prevention work that we do there. Like, just the direct eye contact.
Yeah.
You get sucked into this little moment with a person that normally wouldn't give you that, you wouldn't have a moment with. I mean, you don't really get a whole lot of experience with kids unless you have them.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
Or unless somebody in your family has them.
It's usually
not just going to go up and talk to a random youth.
Know.
You know, that's kind of frowned upon
pretty quick.
Yeah.
I just asked them for directions. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I know that must be a help to a certain degree, but also I think, you know, when you're an adult, like me, I mean, that's kind of the automatic mode I fall into is teaching younger people. Mm-hmm. And I can see where they get taught all day long, mm-hmm. and they don't want this other clown coming up and mm-hmm. trying to teach him something. So, I think to your point that the approach you take is probably very valuable.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just think there's so much to learn from them. I mean, if you're going to be working in a youth advocate role, there is a way to work in collaboration and partnership
mm-hmm.
That requires a little something different.
Now, is your approach to say, tell me what you're feeling, rather than you saying, you know, you spewing information to them, you just kind of prompt them and then they'll tell you what their problem is? Or
well,
how does
so
that work?
An advocate is different. Like, there really aren't that many youth that are coming to me to, like, talk to me. Like, we're not therapists, so we're
sure.
really ultimately, we're in a, advocacy is really cool because it's, well, especially the Dove Project, we work, and I'm pretty sure it's the same for every advocate, but you work in an empowerment-based, like, mm-hmm. client-led, like, what's going on? You tell me what's happening, and we'll see how we can help. We'll troubleshoot this thing
right.
together. And but in no way are you telling them what they have to do or what they should do.
And that was wrong. That was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's, and that's what I think is great about it. Like, you don't have to get, it's hard with your own kids because you're emotionally invested.
Oh yeah.
Right?
I mean, you can't
you're
get
emotionally
outside
invested
that and look in.
in every single decision that they make and all, but as an advocate, what I really like is being like, you don't have to get emotionally invested. And when
yeah.
you're not emotionally invested, you can be in a much more like empathetic, mm-hmm. like open place. Like, so, you know, if you go back to teen relationships, I mean, I don't think that there's any point where relationships are different between teens and adults. I mean, I had the same kind of relationships all throughout my life,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what age I've been. But there is a tendency in any relationship, I think, to like, you know, if something's abusive or not working out, or it's an unhealthy relationship aspect, you know, and you break up for a little while, and then you want to, you know, get back together with them and break up and get. So what's cool as an advocate is you can support. I want for you what you want.
Sure.
I want for you what you want. And if you change your mind about that, I want now what you want for yourself. I just think there's something really cool about that.
Well, too, I think that parents are instead of looking at that kind of one dimension, that breakup or that getting back together,
mm-hmm.
they're looking at college and careers and long term.
Sure.
And they've got this constellation of issues
mm-hmm.
that they have to address. So being an advocate kind of makes you a, you know, a specialist in a sense that you're just dealing with that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And as important as it is for a child to sometimes get clarity outside of, you know, these two big helicopters
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
circling them.
Right.
So where does Dove kind of begin its programs for young people?
Like what age group?
Yeah.
In the middle school. I mean, I think we'd like to work in the elementary school more. And this year was the year that I was going to try and do that a little bit more.
And elementary, what is that? 5 to 8? No.
Years old.
No, grades 5 to 8.
No, it's grades 1 to 5.
Oh.
Yeah, and
I thought that was primary school.
Well, I don't think we have primary school here.
What? We don't?
That's like a New Zealand thing.
Well, okay, that was Canada. I'm from Canada.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That's the Canadian thing.
Yeah. So there's elementary school, and then there's middle school, which here is 6th, 7th, 8th. Other places have, like, you know, elementary school, or they have elementary, middle school, and then there's junior high.
Junior high. I went to a junior high
yeah.
in Tennessee.
Yeah, we don't have junior high here. We just
yeah,
have
good because it was miserable.
Junior high,
yes.
So, yeah, so the middle school, 6th grade, is about where we start, and
okay.
there. So the teen council that I'm leading right now, a few of them really there's some stuff that they'd like to do in the elementary school, which I think would be great if eventually get in there. Like there are ways to talk about boundaries and consent and body autonomy that I think can. You know, there are building blocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a level that you understand, and then there's an extension of that as you get older, and you can bring more relationships into that context. And then you get older, and you can bring more relationships in that context. So I don't know. I get a lot of ideas when I'm out walking, but I went out for a walk with my dog the other day, and thinking about like a really awesome thing that we could do with 5th graders.
Mm-hmm.
So because I think a lot of times like prevention work doesn't start until. Maybe a little bit too late. Like it starts when you need to know the information.
Right.
or a little bit after. But if you don't have that information until you need it, you're not going to have time to integrate it.
I completely agree. It's kind of like, well, you don't learn about driving while you're driving.
Right.
You learn about it before you get in the car and are a menace to society.
Right, or when you're taking a test, right? You're like in school, you're learning all of that information and it culminates then in this, in this like test. But a lot of times we're teaching about relationships while people are already having relationships or in them or have been in them.
I've already got a problem.
Yeah. And then you have to unlearn a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we do, most everything that we do in the middle school was the lunch boxes. So we'd go in at lunchtime and have these little, and it was great. They would line up for these fruit snacks and have these really quick conversations with us. And it was all my colleagues at the Dev Project that created the program. But there was like consent boundaries. There was like cyber bullying part or like cyber behavior, which I came in after they had already started that. And then we never got to it because COVID hit. And so we didn't get to that module. But it's fantastic. You go there, you just stand at this table, they line up, you ask like a quick question that we did like privilege and oppression. And I can't remember some of those, like really good ones. And they just give you their little answer. There's no right or wrong. You know, there's, it's really just like, hey, how do you feel about this?
Right. Your feelings are valid. If you want to tell me, tell me.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can kind of reflect back to them what you've heard. And I like being like, yeah, that's cool. I hadn't thought of that before. That's awesome. And oh yeah, I've heard a couple of other folks today say that as well. It's pretty great that you're all thinking the same way.
And I bet that's reassuring to a kid when you say, I've heard other kids say that because, you know, they probably think they're alone. This is, you know, I'm the only one who has this problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like the idea because, you know, there's always this argument, well, you're starting too young, But, you know, we try to inculcate in young people, in your children, things they'll use the rest of their life, honesty, integrity, loyalty, things like that. So these are attributes they'll use the rest of their life. You know, what is consent? What is, you know, what is too far or, you know, you know them better than I do. But why is learning that, how early is that? I mean, why is it learning that earlier a problem?
I'm not really sure. I mean, we have, and I haven't been in the elementary school. It's like since my girls were in elementary school, but they do have a program there that's about like the social emotional learning part. So here in this school district, they do start to talk about those things, which I think is great. And it's how you, I'm not really sure. Like I know in Denmark, they start like sexuality. It's not sex education, but it's sexuality education really young. And they do that because it's like about your body and what you choose to, what you get to do with it. I mean, and some of it is like, you know, a lot of people would be like, go up and give your grandma a hug. But if you don't want to, you know, there are parents now that are like, well, you know, if you'd like to, you can. But if you don't want to, that's totally fine. I mean, it's just shifting so rapidly that, you know, the awareness of like, oh, right. How are you going to then know when you want to be touched or who you want to touch later on if all of your life you've grown up being told who to touch and who to let touch you?
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure why that's a sticky one. I think it's just a new idea. Yeah. You know, you do things the same way for so long and then a new idea comes along. You're like, oh yeah. Well, that could totally work.
So you've mentioned Teen Council, which I think is just a wonderful program.
I love it.
Could you describe it briefly?
Yeah. Teen Council is a peer-led sex education program. And it's run by Planned Parenthood, created by Planned Parenthood. And so what it is teens teaching their peers and younger about sex and consent and boundaries and contraceptives and HIV and STIs. So what's cool about it is the students receive it so much differently than having an adult standing in front of you teaching about these things. I could say I don't know why. I think it's just cool to see one of your peers up there teaching. Yeah. Like there's just an immediate connect there. So I was a co-facilitator last year with my supervisor, Tracy McLaren, kind of showed me the ropes and stuff. So this year I'm taking it on all by myself. I'm very excited.
Ooh,
I have 10 teens. 5 of them are returning. 2 of them have been, this is their 3rd year. And I sent out a survey at the beginning of the year, like, what do you feel like is missing from sex education? What age do you feel like it would have been great to know a specific thing? How would that have helped you? Because I wanted to get a sense of like what they want to learn and what they want to be able to teach their peers. So that's different in the middle school. We actually teach part of the real curriculum, with the health teachers there, which is awesome. We have a great great relationship. They want us to come in and teach. The teen council does it in an incredible way. And then in the high school, it's a little bit different. So we go in the smart periods and teach like different little things, but they get to choose the lessons in the high school and then create them and then go teach them. It's a really, really cool program.
And I was always struck by, my niece was the first group that went through, and how much work they put in outside of school.
Yeah.
I mean, they know their stuff, man. Because the idea for me is you don't know something until you have to teach it. And they teach it, so they know it.
Well, and they have to learn presentation skills. Mm-hmm. What makes a good presenter? How do you answer? What part of their thing in the middle school is answering anonymous questions? Well, oh my God, that's difficult, right? You're up in front of these seventh graders.
And they're
going to
throw
anything at you. So, you know, they get to vet the questions a little bit, but there still is that. You're standing up in front of a classroom and answering a question. So that's part of what we teach is how to answer a question. You know, there are values-based questions. There are, you know, and then how to answer each one so that you're giving medically accurate and unbiased information. You're not, it's not your opinion. It's not your value. It's not
it's just
medically accurate. You let everybody know that there are many ways to look at this specific, you know, topic. And then you finish with, like, you know, check in with your trusted adults and with people that you trust and whose values you kind of treasure and agree with, and check in with the people in your life, and then and then, you know, make your decisions. But
that's a part of it that I really admire too, is it's science based, and especially from what we've been hearing in the press, Facebook feed is not science, Twitter is not science, and there's so much time spent online with this cohort, this group of people, so. I think that is commendable.
Yeah, the youth, they deserve this information so that they can make good decisions. Well, I mean, I don't want to use the word good, but good for them. Like, what is a good decision for me? What's going to benefit me? What am I doing because I'm in my power and I feel safe and this is what I want to do?
And it's unbiased.
You need the information in order to do that.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. It's unbiased information. It's just science. Science goes where science goes.
Right.
It's not right. It's not left.
And the teens love it, and they get community service hours.
Oh,
it,
really?
Which is fantastic.
That's good.
Yeah, they love teaching.
Well, a little different in Tennessee. I remember a guy came in, an adult, and we're all sitting. I think we're in eighth grade or something, and he's talking about STD, venereal disease, and you know that's a really weird topic. He said, "Any questions?" And Nobody
raised their hand.
Just silence. And he said, "All right, I'll give you $1 if you ask a question." And he put $1 on the table. Nobody. Until one guy in the back said, "Did Adam and Eve have venereal disease?" He's like, "I don't think so. Here's your $1. And still, you know, still nobody asks a question.
Well, and I think that's what's really cool about the anonymous questions is they do have questions. And in general, like, you're not going to ask that out loud because maybe you think it's a dumb question.
Absolutely.
Maybe you think everybody already knows the answer to that question. And, you know, some of the responses we get are clearly, you know, they're just joking around or trying to get a rise or trying to be funny. And that's great. You know, you can, when the teen council asks them, like, you know, if you have a question, you know, put it on this piece of paper or just talk about your favorite movie, like, or let's list your favorite, you know, what are you watching right now? What's your favorite song? So that everybody writes something, you know, you're not being like called out. That person's writing, but that person's not writing. So I know this question came from over there.
Very smart.
Yeah. It's super. So, I mean, it's a way to make it truly anonymous.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then the teen council takes them and you look through them and they choose the ones that they really want to, that are an actual question.
Yeah.
You know, and they're taught to read as well. Like, I'm sensing that, you know, you asked this, but I'm pretty sure that what you really want to know is this. And so you kind of answer that question, you know, the question behind the question. It takes a lot of practice. I don't know. I'm sure a little bit nervous about it.
I would too. And I also think it's, you know, it's nice because maybe at home, who do they ask a question? They can't really go online. Mom checks their history. Mom checks their phones if they have that or whatever. So they're kind of have no anonymity at home.
Right.
So this is a wonderful.
And some parents are comfortable talking about sex and sexuality and some aren't. Yeah. So if you're trying to go to your parent and they like want to be able to talk about it, but don't really know how and have their own, like, you know,
yeah,
I don't want to call it hangups. I don't want to like use a judgy word, but your own uncomfortable, you know, feelings mm-hmm. around talking about it with your teen or with your adolescent, then just, you know, there's got to be somebody else you can go to for that information.
Okay. So we've talked about the programs in the middle school and teen council. Any other programs that concern the...
Well, yeah, I did a, there's this program called Athletes as Leaders, and it was put together with Garfield High School and Harborview Medical Center,
mm-hmm.
Harborview Center for Sexual Assault. It's a sexual assault prevention program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. It's with sports teams, and you go in and have these, it's supposed to be 20 minutes, like a 20-minute conversation with a sports team. There are 10 different topics. And this was just female-identified sports teams. And then Coaching Boys Into Men is the one for the male-identified sports teams.
Mm-hmm.
And so as an advocate, because most coaches are male, mm-hmm. Not all of them, but in general, they're male. And so these conversations you want to have with, what is the idea around that? Just that female-identified youth might feel more comfortable talking about certain things with a female as opposed to a male.
That makes sense. Absolutely.
You know? And I just kind of got thrown into that. I didn't really know that was coming my way. And it was a learning curve. I mean, I basically had to, you know, you take this content and the lessons are very well, you know, set out. There's questions. There's like the team building part. And then you have the topic and you talk about it a little bit. And then you ask questions. And then you come up with like a group, like a team agreement around it. But that was a little bit scary.
Well,
going in and talking to this team. You know, I think the basketball team was my first one. And they were so nice. I mean, they were so great to me. They were so great. They could, and that's the funny thing about teens. Like, they can be, you don't really know whether they like you or not.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just kind of looking at you with a face.
Yeah.
That could mean that they like you or that they really could care less. And you have no way of knowing. So they were all really great. And they got a lot out of it. I mean, they said that their team felt closer. They were having conversations that all of them maybe thought about separately but had never talked about together.
Sure.
As a team. And I love that program. And so I also did it with the volleyball team. And I got better as I went along. Like, the more I knew the subject matter, the more able I was to just, like, talk rather than looking down and reading. I hate reading off of scripts.
Sure.
I just feel like such an idiot when I do it.
Like you said, it's a learning curve.
Yeah.
You know, you're not
mm-hmm.
born knowing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's such a wonderful program because the players look up to the coaches and the general body of the high school, a lot of them look up to these star players,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I mean, part of that is how to be a leader. You
yeah,
know?
Exactly. I mean, you've got your mathletes.
Mm-hmm.
No less a great skill,
mm-hmm.
but they generally don't have an entourage
mm-hmm.
of hangers on.
Or maybe here they do.
Yeah, maybe they do.
And it's how to, I mean, basically the idea is like how to change the culture at a school. You know, you change the culture on a team,
mm-hmm.
you empower the team, and then you ask, you know, it's kind of like, how can we band together to change the culture at the school? And then if you've done that, think about all of that, you know, impact and power. How can you change
mm-hmm.
the culture in the community? I mean, there's real power there.
And I think, you know, from what we've read in the news every now and then, probably one of the most toxic groups in a school are sometimes teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's hazing and there's, you know, I'm supposed to be tough and not cry because I'm a football player
mm-hmm.
or not have emotions or whatever. So kind of breaking that down, said, look, you can be a great football player and still be nice to somebody
mm-hmm.
that's weaker than you or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to bully.
Right.
So what, that's a wonderful program. And
yeah,
that's
so
still
the,
going on.
Yeah.
Or,
well, I mean, there aren't any
no sports.
Sports right now,
oh,
but
geez.
The coach, and then Coaching Boys Into Men is for the male identified athletes. And that is, the coaches that's teaching that content
mm-hmm.
to the team. And that is something, so I was given that program, sort of at the end of the school year. And so that was something I was going to be working on this year as well. So as an advocate, I would be assisting the coach, like not teaching the content, although
mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, I would be happy to.
Yeah.
I'd be totally comfortable going and talking to a, you know, the basketball team or whatever, football team. I think it'd be great to start with football. But the idea is more is that I'm in like a supportive role, but I, you know, I need to go out and create those relationships. And
yeah.
So they're not.
Yeah. That's going to be
They're not
tough.
Playing.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Huh. So those are two really great programs that I'm also involved in.
Yeah.
So a lot of like, what's so great about this job is I really get excited about all facets of it.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of the dev, I mean, they're all like doing these really amazing things. And I'm like over here in my like advocate corner doing all my like specialty stuff. But it's just the best job. I really love it. Oh, and I keep like, I want to get better at it, and not better even in that I just better. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, you know, you can read something and kind of know it, and then it becomes like what you believe
yeah.
and what you speak about and how you speak about it. And that's the really inspiring place to be. Not in a like, I'm reading off of this sheet of paper and now I want you to believe what I'm saying, even mm-hmm. though I clearly don't know what I'm saying because I'm reading off of a piece
yeah.
of paper. So that's where it clicks for me, you know.
Yeah.
And when I'm able to look out at a team and have a question occur to me that I actually want to ask the team because I want to know their answers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know the answers to these questions and there's a yes or a no, or there's the rote things like, what's happening for you? What's going on? What are you seeing? And what kind of change would you like to see? And how can we go about doing that? And how can I assist?
Well, you're certainly passionate about it.
Yeah.
So I imagine you were going to get better and better.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. What have we missed? Any programs that,
Those are the ones, and it's difficult, you know, right now not being able to be in the school or around, you know, team council. We've got this really strong team. We're going to meet over Zoom. We're going to still be able to teach in the schools, and that's a learning curve for me as well. Like, I kind of use a computer to send email. That's mm-hmm. like what I do. So I'm having to learn a lot right now, and
yeah.
like, how can I make this interesting and not just we're sitting on a computer and I'm teaching you
yeah,
dry.
You
know, it's got to be interactive. It's got to be something.
You have your work cut out for
yeah.
you, because, you know, in person you're covered up with your face, and that's an issue. But
mm-hmm.
then on Zoom, you can see your face, but, you know, you're just another talking head
mm-hmm.
on a screen. Ah,
mm-hmm.
boy. So good luck with that.
So I look forward to getting back in person, but finding a way to make this work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Kind of getting out of time here a little bit. Anything else you'd like to say or bring up or let the community know?
I don't think so. Just that I love your youth, and they're all beautiful and all worthy and deserving of like support and empathy and compassion and knowledge and information and power. And yeah. I'm really, 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 I feel super blessed to have this job and to work here.
Well, I thank you for doing this and being so, spontaneous and so driven with it. And I think the Dove Projects picked the winner when they picked you. So
thanks.
So do you know, we like to mention what the next show is at the end of each show. Do you know what it is?
Deborah King. I don't know exactly when she'll be. I mean, it's the next, you know,
episode.
The next hearing.
Next Deborah exciting King, episode.
The next exciting episode. Well, Deborah King talking about yoga for healing trauma.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's kind of with our wellness programs that we have through the Dove Project.
Oh, okay. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
yeah.
have to do it, do I?
I don't think you'll be doing any yoga.
Okay, good. That's
I bet
good.
You could, though. You could say that you just want to learn, like,
it's radio. I could
the
say,
one
oh, yeah,
power
that's,
move.
That's a cat-cow right there, boy.
Oh, I feel the stretch. Oh, she's great. I've taken a class from her one time before that was for youth, actually. Not very many showed up, but it was offered. And it was fantastic. I thought it was great.
All right. Well, Maya, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate all your expertise and what you're doing. And let's see. This is going to play on September 8th and the following week.
I think so. Yeah.
And yeah, so... and also, Vashon, if you have any questions about the next episode with yoga, please email vov@vashondoveproject.org, and they'll help you out. And we'll talk about it on the show, whatever you are interested in. Okay.
All right. Thanks
so much. Oh, you bet. Bye-bye.